The views expressed on this program are for general information only and should not be considered specific investment advice. You should consult your financial advisor for guidance on your situation and read the prospectus carefully before investing. The Get Ready for the Future show is a production of GenWealth Financial Advisors, an Arkansas-registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Buckle up. For the next hour, you're locked into Straight Talk about retirement, investments, and your money.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Hard, shut up.
I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers.
Failure is not an option.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the Delta to the tops of the Ozarks, the Get Ready for the Future show is on the air.
It's showtime!
Woo! Yeah!
Welcome in. It is the last weekend in August all across Arkansas and Northwest Louisiana. This is the Get Ready for the Future show. Happy Saturday, everybody. My name is Scott Inman, along with Mason Cozart to my left, the Director of Investments at GenWealth Financial Advisors, and co-founders Janet Walker and John Shrewsbury to my right. As we get settled in for another hour here, we are glad to have you with us once again on the show, and I'm glad to see everybody back around the table today. We all survived the solar eclipse.
Yeah, wow. I've never seen a bigger waste of time or effort in my life, quite frankly. I'm just going to be the Scrooge about this for just a second, because I mean, I've never seen so many people get enamored by something that just naturally happens. You know, and it's not my first rodeo. I've been around long enough to have seen a few eclipses in my life, and Mason, it just wasn't that impressive.
Well, you know, I was actually driving up to Springdale, and I had my sunglasses on, was kicked back cruising, and I thought, well, you know, it got a little dark here, so I pulled the car over, got my handy-dandy $5 pair of special sunglasses, NASA approved, and got out and went, yep, and got back in the car and kept going. Wasn't that exciting. It's cool, but not that awesome.
So I'm going to be the just eternal educator here. When we pulled up, John, you know, all the millennials who work here were out in the parking lot, you know, with their handy-dandy sunglasses. And I grabbed a pair and looked through them and was like, that's cool, I'll be right back. I went inside, got a piece of notebook paper, poked some tiny little holes in it from using a mechanical pencil, came back out, held it down close to the ground, and they all went, wow, because it gave crescent-shaped, you know, light shining through the circular holes. So we had our little lesson, and then we went on with life. And I have to say, it means a little bit more to me than John, but that's the educator in me. I enjoy that, but, you know.
But things we learned in grade school, you know, and I know,
but
they don't,
you know,
come around
they
all
were
that
in
often.
The protected generation, and they might not have ever seen it before.
Well, that's
true.
Because,
like,
true.
Our kids didn't get to go outside, you know.
Some school districts, I think, actually didn't count absences if people weren't there. They didn't want the responsibility of taking them outside. And first of all, I should point out that Mason followed directions. That was the big story here. You pulled over. You didn't look at it while you were driving.
Safely way off the road.
You used your glasses. Yep. Very nicely done. Yep. But, you know, my kids got to use the glasses that the school district provided for them. They went outside. But you're right. There was a lot of hype surrounding the perceived danger. Now, if you are in that zone of totality, it may have been easier to try to look at it with your naked eye, and maybe there's more danger there. But here it was, I think, an 89% coverage.
Yeah.
And if you did try to glance at it, you weren't going to glance at it long, because it was still like the sun was out. It was still hard to look at anyway.
The point is, it's not what people were expecting. For most people, it is a different experience than what they were expecting.
And the real damage that was done, although I'm sure there are some idiots running around today that can't see or whatever, but the real damage that was done is the billions of dollars of lost productivity from everybody, you know, taking off work or whatever.
But wait, I'm going to counter that in all seriousness with, because I tend to agree with you. But on Saturday, when I was out and about, and my wife and I decided we would go pick up some books for our young nieces and nephews, stopped in the Knowledge Tree, there's a hint, over there on University, to get the books. And unbeknownst to me, they had these special glasses for sale in there. So I'm going to counter that with all the trillions of dollars $1,000 that were spent on glasses and traveling.
And the people who didn't spend money on glasses are spending money at the eye doctor.
That's true.
Week.
So yeah.
I guess there is some upside to this thing, but
well,
still.
I was a little excited, though, to see that in 2024, the next time this comes around, which, again, I thought the narrative was many times that this is once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, and now it's going to happen 7 years from now.
It's the span that it covers, I think, the geographical span that it covers.
So we're going in 7 years. Have you seen the track?
Yeah, it's right through Little Rock.
Right through Little Rock. So I don't have to travel.
I'll
just wait 7 more years.
And rent your basement out, Mason.
No.
That's a good idea.
I'm buying up all the freaking sunglasses of the world, and we're going to sell them and create a little sideline business here at Genwell.
Very economic reasoning there. So,
there you go.
You know, the point here is, obviously, did it live up to your expectations? Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. What were your expectations, and how were they set? How did you walk into that solar eclipse thinking, what were you expecting? And I think that's the point we're kind of jumping off with today. We are starting something in September. So this is going to be talked about on the Get Ready for the Future show and all of our platforms over the month of September, called Retirement Intelligence Month. And there is certainly a need for more intelligence when it comes to your retirement because of all the noise that's out there and all the preconceived notions, much like, John, that solar eclipse, the expectations for retirement, for people's retirement. If they don't get the proper education, if they're not surrounded by the facts and they're not surrounded by experience, sometimes that expectation is not really reality.
You're right. And we just took it upon ourselves. I don't know who the authority is that decides it's going to be, I don't know, National Dog Month or whatever the case may be. Somebody decides that. So we didn't know who it was. So we just took it upon ourselves that it's going to be Retirement Intelligence Month because we believe that a lot of people really begin to think about retirement in the last quarter or so of the year.
We definitely see that trend in our business for sure.
And so when we are faced with that aspect of retirement, we want you to be well educated. But I think there's also a point here that just because you're educated doesn't mean that you will take the right actions. Many times knowledge is not wisdom.
Right.
And so there are things that we've got to do from a knowledge standpoint, but also an action standpoint to get you on that road to retirement.
So let's lay out exactly what that's going to look like. This show is going to be a little bit of a precursor, we'll say, to what Retirement Intelligence Month is all going to be about. Well, there's kind of three things I thought about, John, when you talk about, well, where's the need for Retirement Intelligence Month? Well, if there hasn't been a recognition in your life that retirement is coming, that's the first point for me. It's coming, and we say this in our workshops, whether you prepare for it or not. And that's the first bullet point for me when you think about a need for Retirement Intelligence Month. We hope that it'll cause you to think about it. What is your perception of what your retirement will look like? And then we want you to listen all month to learn about the challenges and opportunities that you have when building your retirement plan, when preparing for your retirement plan. And there's all sorts of resources for you available. We're going to have Facebook videos. We're going to have stuff on our website. Obviously, this radio show will be centered around it. And then we have a big onslaught of workshops that we're going to talk about.
Never before has GenWealth done so many workshops in such a short period of time across the state of Arkansas. We are really marshaling the forces, Janet, to get out there and share with people the wisdom about Retirement Intelligence Month.
We're going to be in 5 cities in 9 days, and you are absolutely right that we've never done that before. We're going to have more details coming up on all of those workshops in just a few moments after the break.
Yeah, we've just got a few more seconds in this, but so we'll just challenge you with a few questions here as we get into that break. What are your retirement perceptions? Think about that this morning, and where do they come from? Did they come from your parents? Maybe what your grandparents' retirement looked like. Maybe it's from the media. Maybe it's from whatever research maybe you've done online. And are those perceptions reality for you? Do you have the I'm going to work until I die mindset? Is retirement defined by an arbitrary age for you? Do you plan to be supported by Social Security and pension only? Think about those questions as we jump in and dive into the Get Ready for the Future show on this Saturday morning. Stay tuned. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial.
Pop, pop, it's showtime. 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 Guess who's back again?
Straight talk about retirement, investments, and your money is right around the corner. The Get Ready for the Future show returns after this.
Life can be so busy, it's hard to even picture retirement. That's why you need somebody you can trust who will paint that picture and help turn dreams into reality. Plan, personalize, and protect your future with the team at GenWealth. Call 877-341-7355 to schedule an appointment. Now, back to the Get Ready for the Future show.
It's time for a closer look at what's happening in the markets. Gen Wealth's Mason Cozart breaks it down with an emphasis on what it means for you. It's this week's Market Watch.
Using historical data this week to take a look at, well, historically, what has being kind of towards the all-time high end of the market meant in terms of what kind of pullbacks have happened historically and how severe were they? And when you look at all of that, Mason, because that's what continues to be driving the narrative here. We are at or close to all-time highs every day because we're setting new ones all the time. So it's kind of hard to be at one all the time. But the S&P's had a good year. The S&P is at historical highs. But everybody always starts to think, how long can it last? How long can the bull market last? And how long can the minimum volatility last?
Well, keep in mind that we had a lot of volatility there for a while. The VIX was way up, and then we went for an elongated period of virtually no volatility. In other words, less than 1% changes in a day. Quite frankly, I think a 1% change in a day is actually pretty volatile where I come from. But we went through a period of relative quietness now, and it seemed to have picked up here in the last couple of months or even weeks more.
Well, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, it was not the greatest for the market for sure. And I think that feeds into, well, here we come, right? Well, so let's look at the historical data going back to 1950. A majority of the pullbacks in the S&P have been in the 3 to 10% range. That's occurred 314 times with average and median returns of negative 5.6 and negative 5.4. Okay, so first of all, what does that mean?
So
let's dissect that.
That means that, interestingly enough, and we're going all the way back to 1950. My gosh, that's when the days when we didn't have computers. So the fact that we could have that kind of pullback, as they lovingly refer to it as, but keep in mind that those didn't occur during the course. We're not talking about a one-day transformation.
Right.
We're talking about multiple days, typically weeks even, when that happened. But we're just not seeing that lately. So the question is, why and what should we think about it?
And that's a big number, 314 times since 1950. So it is going to happen in many cases between 3 to 10%. Now, pullbacks of more than 15% have happened just 20 times since 1950. So when equities fell more than 15%, they were likely to continue below the 20% threshold. And that, of course, is what many people identify as a bear market.
Yes.
So you have to have a pretty severe pullback to get down to where you start thinking about the bull market is over.
That's true. And so the interesting thing is that, you know, this is a lot like 1995 in a way, even though not quite as severe, not that we had to compare it to any particular year, but we picked 1995. So thus far, we've had, I think it's two pullbacks that are in the moderate range right now. At this point in time in 95, we had, I believe it was five. So the question is, what happened after that? I think for the most part, it's just reconditioning, so to speak, Scott. We're just, you know, people get antsy. They want to take a little profit off the table. Right. When somebody takes profit off the table, somebody else takes a little profit off the table. The question is, does it become a full-fledged bear market after that? And I think the ultimate answer is no, it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think that's the big takeaway here. When you start talking about 3 to 10% or 15%, people go, well, I don't really want any kind of pullback.
Nope.
But I think it should be set into your psyche that a small pullback is normal. We've talked about that in previous shows, that it happens quite frequently during the course of every year, even when the market is up for the year. So don't let that distract you from or make you think that the economy is not doing well.
No, most of the pullbacks that we're getting right now are just knee-jerk reactions, somebody using it, an event to pull back.
And it may even present an opportunity to buy.
Yeah, I'll take a 2% up day.
Absolutely. That's a look at today's fastest 4 minutes in investing. Stay tuned. The Get Ready for the Future show continues in just a moment.
Boom.
Stick around. More Straight Talk about retirement, investments, and your money right after this.
And we're coming to your city.
Oh, I love football season, and I love listening to that song. It reminds you of ESPN Game Day, right?
Yeah.
They're coming to your city. They're always moving every Saturday. Well, we are coming to your city here at GenWealth. GenWealth Academy workshops pretty much everywhere across Arkansas in September as we build for Retirement Intelligence Month. And we're talking about the three big risks to your retirement. Have you thought about them? Do you know what they are? Do you know how to attack them? Possible solutions to challenge them, to take care of them. The three big retirement risk GenWealth Academy workshops coming all over Arkansas. As Janet mentioned in the first segment, five cities in just a span of a few days. September 12th at 6:30 is the first one. That's at Fat Daddy's Barbecue in Conway. 2 days later, we're at the Grand Prairie Center in my hometown of Stuttgart. September 14th, 6:30 is the start time there. September 19th at 6:30 will be at Gina's Catering and Events. That's in Bryant. And then September 20th at 11:30 a.m., it's a lunch setting for the El Dorado Chamber of Commerce, or at the El Dorado Chamber of Commerce in El Dorado. And then September 21st, the very next day, we're back at the Embassy Suites in Hot Springs at 6:30 once again. So Conway, Stuttgart, Bryant, El Dorado, and Hot Springs from September 12th to September 21st. If you didn't catch all that, if you're driving down the road right now, just go to our website, getreadyforthefuture.com/events. You'll see them all listed there. And chances are, if you're hearing my voice today, you don't have to drive very far to attend a GenWealth Academy workshop.
And Scott, let me say that these three big risks are things that will have the at least the potential of devastating your retirement if you don't pay attention to them, Janet. And we want to get the word out about this because a lot of people are frankly whistling in the dark when it comes to these three things.
I would absolutely agree. So let's circle back and talk about, you know, the theme for the month is Retirement Intelligence Month. And I've been asking my kids, having them ask themselves this question every day on the way to school, two questions. What are my responsibilities and what are my action points? Because I realized that they're coming home and not doing things that they really need to be responsible for. They're not acting on them. So I would encourage you to ask yourself that about your own retirement. What are my responsibilities and what are my action points? And if one of your responsibilities is to learn more and to prepare yourself for retirement, then one of your action points needs to be to attend one of these workshops. There's no cost. Just come out and join us. Again, we're going to be in Conway, Stuttgart, Bryant, El Dorado, and Hot Springs. No reason to miss us. If you can hear us, we're coming to your city.
Now, we say this often. There's no downside to this. There's no cost, as Janet just mentioned, and dinner will be provided, and there's education on tap for you, learning about those three big retirement risks. And that it's for anybody in any stage of life, but if you are closing in on retirement, it is particularly important for you, 5 years or less, let's say. It is particularly imperative that you check out the three big risks coming to a city near you. Well, we talked about in the last segment, the first segment of our broadcast this morning, about the solar eclipse and what were your perceptions and where they met, where your expectations met. So often our expectations are based on something we've heard, our experiences. Listen to this quote from a Legg Mason Global Investment Survey. Beliefs and ideas tend to be shaped by one's personal upbringing and experiences more so than by an informed general and global view. The same applies to investment matters, leading most investors to make decisions based on what they know or what surrounds them, ignoring a whole universe of information that is available to them. Now, we're going to talk today a little bit about how those expectations or those beliefs and ideas pertain to your investments. But even from a more broad sense, let's start by talking, when we're talking about Retirement Intelligence Month, guys, I know there are many people that we've sat with over the last few months and for you guys the last few years, when they come in with those beliefs and ideas that
they're really ingrained in them, and that's how they have driven through their life for the most part. And getting that unwound and changed is really one of the first steps.
I heard a podcast that was actually on a different topic, but I'm going to borrow their phrase on this. That this guy was talking about that he and his wife have this phrase in their marriage when one of them does things differently than the other, and it's just because of the way they were brought up, just like you're talking about on investment preferences, just because of what you know. And the phrase is, honey, you're moralizing your preferences, meaning don't tell me I'm doing it wrong just because I'm doing it differently. This is something different than what you grew up with, but that doesn't make what you grew up with morally right and mine morally wrong. And I think people, now that's kind of a strong phrase to say you're moralizing your preferences, but generally a lot of people do that with investments because all they know is their small little world of investment experience and knowledge. And I get it, but there's a universe out there, and you can't moralize your preferences on all of the investment knowledge out there if you don't even know what's there.
Well, I put it in a lot more down-to-earth terms. You are using those almost psychological terms there.
Moralizing your preferences.
But here's the deal, Scott. If you grew up and all your parents ever fed you was broccoli, you'd think broccoli was just fine until you got a taste of ice cream. And then that just changed your total perception, right? It wouldn't be that ice cream was bad or bad for you or anything of that nature. It would just be, wow, hey, I didn't know that. But if you were not open to having a taste of ice cream, went, nope, broccoli, I'm a broccoli guy. I'm going to be a broccoli guy. That's just it. Yeah. I'm just a broccoli guy. Then you'd be a broccoli guy and look what you'd miss.
Well, and when you talk about, you're talking about food, but when you talk about investments, you're talking about people's money. So now you're even holding on a lot tighter in many cases.
Oh,
I understand that. It's very difficult to get out of your comfort zone and even consider what you know sometimes because, hey, we're talking about your life savings here.
Well, yeah, and there's no do-overs.
Right.
You don't get an opportunity to save again in most cases. Now, some people do, but in most cases, you don't get the chance to build that second fortune.
Well, besides just investments, let's talk finances overall, so including insurance. Troy and I are meeting with people coming up pretty soon who they've got life insurance in place, and what they did was all they knew to do, and they felt like they were doing the right thing. When they come back in to meet with us, what they're going to discover is that they can have the same coverage amount, so the same amount of protection for their family, and save, catch this, $1,600 a month. Now, that $1,600 a month is also going to be able to now be invested for them. So think about if they had just said, all I know is all I know, and that's all I'm going to do, compared to the difference that this is going to make for them long term.
Yeah, there's a, pardon me, I'm not sure why I have a frog today, but there is a
solar eclipse.
That's what it is, I'm sure. It's my effect of it from looking through those glasses is probably the deal. But you know, when there are biases in all of us in every aspect of our life, but I think sometimes money biases tend to be, Scott, as you alluded to, more set in concrete because my dad told me this was how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
My mom always taught me this, or X person, insert name here, says this is how it's supposed to be.
Well, I remember my grandfather sitting me down in the early 80s and saying, now, honey, when you get you enough money to go get you a CD at the bank, you need to do that because they're paying me 17%. You need to get you some of that.
Well, if you could still
good advice back then, right?
It was. Yes. It was fabulous.
And
but
if you could still get a 17%
yes,
CD,
exactly.
I'd recommend
it's
you go get it today.
Great advice, right? But the point is things change. Right. And there are investments available now that he didn't have access to. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, the CD world is completely different than what it was then. So you've got to realize, and I use that example because it's so obvious to everybody, because everybody out there listening just did what you and what you guys just did of, well, if you could still do that, it'd be great. Right. But think about what other changes have happened that are not as evident to you as that one. The advice of 30 years ago or 40 years ago is still 3 or 4 decades old, regardless of what the topic is.
Well, nothing against the advice that your grandfather gave you. But the other side of that story back in the 80s was that we had inflation.
Yes.
That was eating up almost all of that return, if not all of that return from the CD.
Well, and while my grandfather was making that money at the bank, my dad dad was at a different stage of life and was paying that type of interest on his mortgage. And so it totally depends on where you are.
Which is how the bank was able to pay your grandfather, because
yes,
they were collecting
exactly.
it from your dad.
Exactly.
So taking a look from that Legg Mason Global Investment Survey, they identified 10 top biases holding investors back. So when you talk about that, Mason, the first one on their list is concentration bias. And in this case, they're talking about being too allocated to cash, having too much sitting on the sidelines. It says, a quote from that article, as much as one-third of global investment assets are allocated to cash or cash equivalents.
Well, and we can attribute that to a number of things. One, it could still be a hangover from 2008, 2009. People
yeah.
are just a little skeptic, scared. Part of it could be that they just really don't know where to go. I mean, let's face it, the financial and investment world is significantly different than it was 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So when your grandpa says, kindly, go get a
yeah.
CD, that was all he actually knew. And the world has changed tremendously since then. So it's I think it's a matter of, you know, when we were younger and they said, oh, don't put your hand on that stove, it's hot. Well, how many of us did? We did. But when it comes to investing, it's a little hard to go out there and touch something and learn the lesson
right.
and know what to do and what not to do.
Well, the other side of this coin, guys, is that there is concentration bias in companies that you are familiar with. We see this in South Arkansas.
Yeah.
South Arkansas is the home of three Fortune 500 companies, I believe it is, or Inc. 1000 companies, Murphy Oil, Murphy USA, and Deltic Timber. Nothing wrong with any of those companies, but you will see a lot of people in South Arkansas investing in those companies because they drive by them every day and they know people that work there and all
yeah.
of this type of thing. And you will see an overconcentration of assets sometimes in those companies' stock simply because of this concentration bias.
You see the same thing a lot of times with people's employer. You know, they might get a company match in their 401k through company stock, may or may not even get it that way, but many times you'll see an overconcentration of that company stock. And to have a small amount of it is fine, but again, you just want to be careful regardless of what it is. You want to be careful of too much concentration.
Yeah, we certainly advocate establishing a healthy emergency fund that is in cash, that is in a savings account, that is in a safe place. And maybe even when you enter retirement, that should be a little bit bigger. But if you think that putting money, a lot of money away in cash is safe, there are actually risks to having too much in cash. And if you want to find out more about the three big risks to your retirement, go to getreadyforthefuture.com/events and find out where a GenWealth Academy workshop is headed to you as we enter September and we enter Retirement Intelligence Month. We'll continue talking about these 10 biases holding investors back as we continue on the Get Ready for the Future show.
Like what you hear? The Get Ready for the Future show is always just a click away. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, or on our website, GetReadyForTheFuture.com. We'll be right back. This ain't your mama's financial advice. Turn it up, because we're back with the Get Ready for the Future show.
I want to take just a second to invite you to our next GenWealth drop-in, after-hours drop-in at Bar Louie, coming up from 5 until 7 on September 7th. So what this is, if you weren't with us for the last one, we talked Razorback football with former Razorback David Basil, had a great time. We auctioned off some Razorback memorabilia, and the proceeds went to benefit the Broyles Foundation. And we are now going to bring in Trey Reed for September. September 7th. 5 to 7, Trey Reed is with the Arkansas Game and Fish. He's going to get you ready for the upcoming hunting seasons. He'll talk about fishing. He'll talk about just about anything. As a matter of fact, when I called to ask him if he'd do this, he was up in Batesville tracking some rare lizard. I don't even really know what he was doing, but it was something that he was doing up there. But they are on top of stuff at the Game and Fish. They are always on top of just about any critter that's out there, whether you shoot it or you don't.
This guy is the replacement for Steve Wildman Wilson.
Sort of, yeah. He's a TV guy. I think they do a show.
Talking Outdoors.
That's it. Talking Outdoors. He does a weekly show, and he's very good on camera, very engaging. I think people will really like getting to know him, and he's going to bring a few things. He hasn't told me exactly what yet.
That lizard.
Maybe he will. Maybe you'll bring that.
I had one at the house recently. It got in our house randomly and decided to hide in the piano. If I had known you had a lizard-hunting friend, I would have made a phone call.
Yeah, he could have at least told you what it was, how rare it was. I don't think they've got room at Bar Louie for the fish tank that they bring sometimes.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know what he's going to bring.
I've just figured it out. It's actually Arkansas's version of Steve Irwin.
There you go.
You know, the Australian guy that
got the crocodile hunter.
Yeah, yes. That got killed by the stingray.
Yeah, let's not talk about the end of that because that you just compared him. Yeah.
That was sad.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be hunting any crocodiles.
Yeah.
Or stingrays.
Or stingrays. So join us with Trey Reed from the Arkansas Game and Fish, Bar Louie, 5 to 7, September 7th. This is for clients and non-clients. Anybody that wants to come will have food and drinks provided. It was a really great time in August. We hope you have a big crowd again in September. So we're talking about the 10 biases holding investors back. Last segment was about the concentration bias that exists on many levels, but particularly if you're holding too much cash in retirement, thinking that's the safe play, but there are actually risk to having too much cash. What about a home bias? I thought this one was interesting. The quote from the article, the Legg Mason Global Investment Survey, is more than one-third of investors regard domestic stocks as the best place to put their money, ignoring opportunities abroad. And I think that plays back to what we've been talking about a lot in this show, John, is the perception, what they hear about. They see the S&P 500, talked about it, how it went up and down every day in the report of the close on the news, and then you just hear about the domestic stocks more. You don't know much about what's happening elsewhere.
Yeah, the tunnel vision kicks in there, and you get very narrowly focused, and you ignore some great opportunities. And Mason, we're beginning to see even more opportunities abroad with stocks, especially in the emerging market area.
That's true. I mean, let's face it, we all think that America is the greatest country in the world, and I tend to agree with that. But there's a lot of really bright people out there in the world. There's a lot of really great countries out there in the world. And I agree with Scott completely that we just tend to not see or hear about them. But that does not mean that they don't exist. But that what that means is that you need to work with someone that can help you uncover those.
And I would also take this and kind of twist it a little bit on that home bias. Sometimes you have some international coverage that you're not even thinking about. For example, and this is not a recommendation, it's just an example that we can all kind of wrap our brains around. If you have Coca-Cola stock, for example, that company's based in Atlanta, Georgia. That's a U.S. company. But they're global.
They sell a lot of stuff everywhere.
All over the world. They're everywhere. And so when you look at what you have, there is international influence even in that quote-unquote U.S. holding. And a lot of people are kind of oblivious to that. So it really is important to have somebody looking at your portfolio to pay attention to whether you have enough or too much international weighting in there.
Number three on this list of the top 10 biases holding investors back is timing bias. I thought this one was interesting, too. They're all very interesting. But the quote from the article here, the most common regret among investors is getting market timing wrong. Well, my reaction to that is, why are they trying to time the market in the first place, right? I mean, I think that is a big problem when you're talking about investors going it alone is there's a short-term thinking, there's a short-term reaction to everything going on, and a lack of long-term vision and planning.
Let's face it, as I've said many times on this show, people are hardwired to do the wrong thing at the wrong time for the wrong reason. Our emotions take over, and many times your emotions will lie to you. Now, it will feel like it's the right thing to do at the time, but it's like all those folks that went to cash after the financial crisis because they couldn't bear to go through it again. And now they look back on now, 8 years of a bull market? And there's tons of regret there. I sat with someone just the other day that has been in cash the entire 8-year period of time.
Oh, my gosh.
And now he's coming to us and saying, I need some help. I know I can't do this. And I'm going, well, thanks for the great opportunity there. Catch me when the wind changes and we're now the winds are in our face. But seriously, those are things that we've got to flesh out of the system, Janet, in order for people to have the opportunities that they really deserve.
me couple something along with this timing bias. This is really talking about, you know, hitting the investment, the market, so to speak, at the right time or the wrong time. But John, you and I had a conversation just recently this week about people judging their investment at the wrong time. For example, we were working with a couple where they've got some investments that they've had for a long period of time, and those are right on track with what the plan says that they need to be. And then there are some that they've had for like 6 months. And those that they've had for 6 months look very different than the other ones do. Well, number one, some of them have an upfront cost. But number two, even, you know, beyond that, they haven't had time to really grow yet. Mm-hmm. And the challenge for a lot of people is to measure that investment's success or failure by the same standard that they're using on the long-term holdings. The time in the market is very different.
I just thought of a great analogy there, Janet, and you and I were talking about how can we explain this to people, and I just thought of it. If you see a movie, a great movie, from beginning to end, you walk out of the theater and you go, that was a great movie. Mm-hmm. But if you were to get plunked down in the middle of that movie and didn't know what the beginning looked like, you'd come out frustrated. Mm-hmm. You'd come out going, I don't get it. I don't understand what this, and I'm confused, and I I'm frustrated about this. Well, it's the same thing sometimes when you're investing. If you're investing in a market and you catch that market in the middle of the cycle, so to speak, then you're going to have a different result than the guy that caught it at the beginning.
Well, and a lot of people just think that they've got to time it correctly, and quite frankly, I just don't believe that's ever going to happen. So the goal is, in reality, is it's okay to be a little early toward the bottom. It's okay to be a little late toward the bottom, and it's okay on the upper end. In other words, don't stress that hard. You're never going to be perfect. Just, you know, it comes back to your goal. What do you actually want out of it?
As we are fond of saying, it is more about time in the market than timing the market, Scott.
Well, when you talk about these last two biases we've discussed in this segment, the home bias and the timing bias, I think it highlights the value of working with a financial advisor, because if you have a bias towards just domestic stocks and you're not thinking about the larger investment universe that's out there, or if you have a problem trying to look at that snapshot, as John said, you don't get to see the movie all the way through, it helps to have that longer-term perspective. And I think a financial advisor has that, Mason, because we talk about it on the Fastest 4 Minutes in Investing all the time. It comes back to fundamentals. Those blips in the radar are going to happen, but fundamentally, where are the companies? Where are the corporations? And where is the market headed?
That's true. And just keep in mind that year over year, I believe, unless I'm mistaken, that we're up something like 12% on earnings, so the life has been good here lately. But keep in mind that in the U.S. domestically, we're now down to right at 4,000 stocks that are publicly traded on the big stock exchange, and that's down from over 12,000 just about 15 or 20 years ago. So our universe here is shrinking. There's a lot of stuff that happens out there in the world that we need to pay attention to. But again, it's hard. Then that's in spite of the massive amount of information that is available where, Scott? Oh, on the internet,
that
right?
That internet thing.
Yeah, that internet thing.
The Google.
You got to do it.
Yeah. Well, would it be worth it to have a conversation with a GenWealth financial advisor? We certainly think it would for you to call 501-653-7355. That is our main number here in the Bryant office. But it will get you in touch with a GenWealth advisor in a town near you. We have offices in West Little Rock. We mentioned Bryant, Hot Springs, El Dorado, Shreveport, Louisiana. If you're hearing my voice, there's a GenWealth advisor close to you, ready to sit down and just have a conversation. And that's all it is to start with, about your goals, about where you are, where you want to go. And it's an absolutely free consultation. To call that number, 501-653-7355. You can also go to GetReadyForTheFuture.com and send us an email, and someone will get back in touch with you. We are talking about the top 10 biases holding investors back from a Legg Mason Global Investment Survey. Number four on that list, financial history bias. Over half, over half of the people responding in this poll said at least they are at least somewhat influenced by the global financial crisis that is now, guys, 8 years old. You talked about the gentleman that you already sat with, but people are still, they still have that in their conscience when it comes to investing.
Yeah, they do. It is. I don't know that I've ever seen an event in history other than maybe the Great Depression. And I grew up with Depression era parents, and that was a huge influence in their life for years and years and years. But I think that the Great Recession, Janet, is also very psychological weighting on people in terms of their investing strategies.
It is. And this is one of the things that we talk about, and one of the reasons that we use the income for life model, this buckets of money strategy. And when we can walk through and say, you know what, if we have a repeat of 2008, then you know what, we don't need that money for this portion that's going to be exposed to that type of volatility and that type of risk. We don't need that portion of your assets until 15 or 20 or 25 years into retirement. So if we have a 2008, your grocery money, what you're going to live off of for the next 5, 10, 15 years, is not exposed to that type of risk, but the long-term money is. But what if you had 15 years before you need it? Would that be okay? And that makes a tremendous difference for our investors.
If you'd like to find out more about that income for life model, particularly as we talked last week, if you're entering the retirement red zone, if it's 5 to 10 years out for you, let's get a plan in place. 501-653-7355 is the main number as we talk about the top 10 biases holding investors back. And we'll wrap things up on the Get Ready for the Future show right after this.
Your retirement should be more than just investments, more about you, and more Get Ready for the Future show. Stay tuned for more. We've got Gen Wealth Academy workshops happening in your area. To find out more, visit our website at www.getreadyforthefuture.com/events. Now, back to the Get Ready for the Future show.
Well, perhaps never has it been more true that we have Gen Wealth Academy workshops happening in an area near you. Five of them in September in a span of about 9 days. So we want to tell you about them again. If you're listening in Conway or even in Morrilton or Greenbrier, Valonia area, we want to let you know that our next Gen Wealth Academy workshop, entitled The Three Big Risks. What are the three big risks to your retirement, happening September 12th at 6:30 at Fat Daddy's Barbecue. 2 days later, we're in my hometown of Stuttgart at 6:30, September 14th. Be with us down there if you're in the DeWitt area, if you're in Stuttgart, if you're anywhere near us, Clarendon, wherever the case may be in the Grand Prairie. Join us there September 14th, 6:30. For that workshop. And then on September 19th at 6:30, we're at Gina's Catering and Events in Bryant. So Benton, Bryant, wherever you are in Saline County, be sure to join us there. September 20th, it's 11:30 at the El Dorado Chamber of Commerce. And September 21st at 6:30 at the Embassy Suites in Hot Springs. A Gen Wealth Academy workshop, easy to get to. Just go to getreadyforthefuture.com/events to register. It's absolutely free, dinner provided, and education about the three big risks to your retirement.
Scott, let me highlight the El Dorado workshop because it's a little bit different. This is a downtown El Dorado noontime workshop, and we are very sensitive to your need to get in, get your food, get the presentation done, get back to work.
It's like a lunch and learn.
It is a lunch and learn, and Charlie Skinner and I will be presenting this at the El Dorado Chamber of Commerce boardroom. We got very limited seating there. Only about 40 seats are available for the workshop, so it'll be a great place to come in, get a sandwich, get some information, and then get back to work. It is a different format and a different venue for us in El Dorado, so I just wanted to highlight that as one of the things that we're trying to do here is to try to change the dynamic a little bit and give more people the opportunity to actually get the information that's necessary to win in retirement during Retirement Intelligence Month.
Yeah, we're calling September Retirement Intelligence Month. And if you've never been to a Gen Wealth Academy workshop, I think this is the best time to really jump in and do it. It's obviously where you're going to be able to find one close to you, no matter where you're listening. And if you've never been one, you know, John mentioned the sensitivity to your time for the lunch and learn in El Dorado, but even the evening ones, we'll just let you know it's not your whole whole evening. We're asking that you arrive, you know, a little bit before 6:30. The buffet line will be ready, or if we're serving, as the case may be, you'll be able to eat, finish your meal, and it takes about, I think it's about an hour usually, yeah, at the most, that we'll provide some education going over those three big risks. But we also want you to bring your questions. We always spend a little time with a little Q&A at the first, and then we'll hang around after if you have some individual questions that you don't want to ask in a group setting. Whatever is your style or is makes you most comfortable, you'll find a way to execute that at the Gen Wealth Academy workshop near you. Well, as we wrap things up today, we're talking about the top 10 biases holding investors back. We're up to number 5 on that list, and it's generational bias. And I found this very intriguing, too. This information, by the way, coming from a Legg Mason Global Investment Survey. So they ask questions of investors all across age groups. And so this is where this one falls with the generational bias. The quote from the article is, "The gap between what investors are seeking from their investments and what they are actually achieving is there." There is a gap. Older investors have low ambitions, while younger groups are more ambitious. I thought this was interesting, too. More than half of millennials say they are likely to take on increased risk in the next 12 months, and while only 36% of Gen Xers made that claim, and just 23% for baby boomers. Now, we don't know what's going on in the psyche of all the people that answered this survey, but taking on risk just for the sake of taking on risk doesn't seem to make sense. It would make more sense if it was built into a plan.
But see, sitting on my side of the page, I'd have to argue exactly what risk do they believe that they're taking on. I no offense to anybody out there, but I'm not sure that everybody actually understands the risk that are involved when it comes to investing over the short, intermediate, and long term. And I think that's where sitting down with someone like John or Janet or Scott and I, and the young guys that we've got out there, can be very helpful in understanding and identifying what that risk actually is, because that's what's going to come to play, Janet.
Well, and I'm just going to toss out the relevance of any of these percentages, because it says that they're going to take on more, but we don't know where they are now.
They could be at the bank right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and I think that there is some realism that's going on here, because when it says that the older generation, older investors have low ambitions, I think they just have reasonable expectations.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, there's this perception, especially when you get in early and young, and they come in all wide-eyed and are ready to just take on all the risk in the world. They want to make 20, 30% return, until they get the downside of a taking a 20 or 30% return.
What did Mike Tyson say about that? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They've never invested during a 2008.
Nope.
That's the difference.
Well, when you think about that word risk and the fact that our Gen Wealth Academy workshops are about the three big risks to your retirement, this is talking about risk in investments, the risk taking that they're having in investments. But if you don't have the proper investment strategy, and more importantly, if you don't have the plan to attack the three big risks in retirement, that's a much bigger deal. And when you talk about those three big risks, what are they? Because that strategy and that plan has to be mapped out, guys, with that investment strategy as you get into retirement. So number 6 on that list is equity bias. Another interesting, I love the terms, the names they gave these, by the way, but do you have an equity bias? I don't think anybody would think they do, but the quote from the article is, "When considering potential opportunities over the next 12 months, more than a third cited domestic stocks, 30% real estate, 24% international stocks, and domestic bonds came in at 10%. So you're just talking about where would they perceive going over the next 12 months, and that is goes back kind of the concentration bias. Are you in equities too much? And that depends on where you are as well.
So when you combine domestic and international stocks, just for the total there, I mean, you're talking about over 50% in total equities. So just to get that clear picture, that is a significant amount, which may be perfectly appropriate, or it might not be.
Well, I've got to say that you know, I've harkened back to one of my favorite movies, which is the Clint Eastwood movie, Gran Torino. And if you remember the scene where he's in there with the neighborhood kid next door, and they're looking at all of his tools, and he says, "Every tool has a job, and every job has a tool." And the problem a lot of people have with investing is they don't really understand the tool or the job. Oftentimes, they're looking for that quick return on equities because they know that equities have the ability to give them that quick return. But equities and quick return are not necessarily harmonious with each other. It's like using the wrong tool for the wrong job.
Yeah.
The equities are for the long term. If you do not have at least a 10 or a 15 year time horizon before you need the money, you don't need to be invested in equities.
I would agree.
And when I say need the money, using that portion of your portfolio. Now, you could have your portfolio invested in equities and have over a 15 year time horizon, or you could have a portion of your portfolio in equities that portion would have a 15-year time horizon, but the other portion would be invested more conservatively.
Well, and I agree completely, because the fact is, and it goes back to Janet and Scott saying, it's about the plan, and and it's the tools. That's exactly correct. You've got to be able to withstand, because we know that at some point in time, the market is going to treat us poorly again. It's just a matter of when it is and how severe it is and what we do with it. Sometimes
I love Mason's phraseology, treat us poorly.
It
yes.
is.
It's personal.
It hurts. I'm not going to lie, Coach. It hurts.
It does.
Oh, we're going to have time for maybe just one more of these. So we do want to tell you that we're going to post the link to the article from the survey here about the 10 biases that hurt investors, the top 10, because we're going to run out of time before we get through all of them. So we're going to be up to number 7 here, and that'll be the final one we reside on in this broadcast. And it's gender bias. Have you thought about that? This survey finding almost 1/3 of men describe their risk tolerance as aggressive, and 24% of women describe their risk tolerance as aggressive. And it certainly highlights for me the importance of when we work with couples. If you need to be on the same page, this, or if you don't think you need to be on the same page, this highlights that statistically speaking, men and women have different kinds of risk tolerances.
Well, women have, what is it, Janet?
A security blanket.
A security button that has to be pushed on a regular basis.
They need
right?
a security blanket in
yes.
their investing. And that, again, goes back to the importance of one of the reasons that we use the income for life model. They know that, all right, this money out here that is exposed to greater risk is money that we're not going to need for a decade and a half or longer. So the security blanket is the grocery money that we're going to use in the first 5, 10, and 15 years, and that makes a tremendous difference.
Now, I think we made a generalization there, and I can see this one couple that I have in my mind right now. She is the aggressive one. He is the conservative one.
It does
one.
Happen. It
and
does
she's
happen.
Probably going to call me up and scream at me after this broadcast because I just made this big generalization that was totally 100% inaccurate in their situation.
Well, yes, yeah, statistically, you're on track, but there are exceptions, absolutely.
Well, retirement is essentially an income problem. So when you start putting that retirement plan together, what are your income needs? And as we talk about this income for life model, what are your income needs now and what are your income needs going to be in the future? All part of our retirement plan that we do here for many clients at GenWealth. If you'd like to sit down with a GenWealth financial advisor and build your retirement plan, it's a simple phone call, 501-653-7355 to connect with an advisor near you. We have offices in Hot Springs, West Little Rock, Bryant, El Dorado, and Shreveport, Louisiana. You can call that number or you can shoot us an email. Check us out at GetReadyForTheFuture.com. You can also check out our events. Sign up for a GenWealth Academy workshop as we head into September that we have deemed September Retirement Intelligence Month. Listen all month long to the Get Ready for the Future show to get that retirement intelligence. We thank you for being with us on this Saturday. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you again next week.
The GenWealth Financial Team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 844-869-PLAN. The Get Ready for the Future show is a production of GenWealth Financial Advisors, and opinions expressed are not those of this radio station and are for general information only. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. GenWealth Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. PC.